Well, let me just talk to you a little bit about if you think you're hungry now. Joe Biden's special presidential envoy for climate, Senator John Kerry, made a revelation this month as he spoke about the need to, quote, transform the way food is produced in order to lower emissions. This is the next shoe in the Great Reset. It's the new crusade for climate activists. Food production. The emissions have got to be reduced. Have to. I mean, most people. Well, let me just quote him. A lot of people have no clue that agriculture contributes about 33% of all the emissions of the world, depending a little bit on how you count it, but anywhere from 26 to 33%. And we can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. So all of us understand here the depths of this mission. Reduction in fertilizer, land use, and cows are a big push to reduce the emissions created by our food production. One idea that has been put forth to help reduce methane is to shift to eating bugs. Another idea is to feed cows bugs to reduce fertilizer emissions generated by growing food for cows. So either you'll eat the bugs or you'll eat the cows that were raised on bugs. John Kerry said the agricultural sector, quote, needs innovation now more than ever. We're facing record malnutrition at a time when agriculture, more than any other sector, is suffering from the impacts of the climate crisis. He said, residents of Earth had only 9 years left. 9 years. 9 years left. That's it. And I refuse to call climate change anymore. It's not change. It's a crisis. There are scientists who will tell you today the probability of a large portion of Africa that is a huge food supplier to the continent could implode in terms of agricultural capacity if we don't get under control of what we're doing. 15 million people are dying every single year around the planet as a consequence of greenhouse gas emissions. Wow. Wow, I'd like to see that. In the atmosphere, in the air, which travels around, it drops in the form of pollution, warming the ocean at a record rate, changing the chemistry of the ocean itself. Without action, millions of lives and livelihood on the planet and parts of the world, climate crisis has now got growth in agricultural yields by as much as 40%. Wow. Now, he was speaking to, let me ask you, if you want to transform agriculture, our food process, from, quoting them, not me, from seed to fork, who are the first people you're going to invite to the table?
Klaus Schwab. Would be my first.
Exactly.
Yeah, anyone from the World Economic Forum.
When do you get to the farmers?
Last, I would say last.
Well, just tell them what to do because they're stupid.
Right. That's the point.
They have knowledge partners, Stu.
Oh, good.
Knowledge partners. And these knowledge partners are meant to share best practices to increase the equitable diffusion and positive returns to agricultural innovation efforts focused on adapting to and mitigating the effects of climate change. It's got to be flexible, inclusive, and targeted collaboration focused on specific innovation areas guided by the values of openness and transparency. It is great.
This always works out well. You know, when you take the people, like for example, if you were to like put a system together where all you did was listen to quote unquote experts and let's say health, and then not at all listen to what parents wanted, maybe put the teachers unions in there, a bunch of other groups that are, but never ask the parents or the kids. And then afterward, the kids, you know, are, you know, had their educational lives destroyed by the policies implemented by the health officials that have no educational expertise whatsoever. That would be an interesting system to try.
I'd be interested to see how that would work out. Yeah. Has that test ever been done?
You know, I think it was once. Maybe, let's say,
Long time ago, though.
Yeah, probably. Globally in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah.
And we've seen
it's a different world back then.
Oh, yeah. The repercussions of it were terrible, but of course, they'd be different this time.
Well, of course, it always is. I mean, for instance, I could go back in history and say exactly what has been done here. This isn't new. I mean, they're calling it new, but this is the Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, in league with the United Nations Climate Change Conference, or COP28, that's coming up in November. They're just getting ready for that. Now, I don't know. Maybe it was COP 1 or 2. I'm not sure. But Mao tried this back in the 50s and 60s. It was his 5-year plan to transform farming.
Yeah.
And there were 5 million deaths, but when the experts came to him and said, "Hey, this is really not working out," he said, "Because you haven't tried hard enough." And so they did it for the full 5 years, and millions starved to death. But I think that was different back then. That was different. The experts were different.
No, eggs, omelets, you know how they say. You got to break a couple.
They learned some important lessons, which we will not learn from. But they learned some important lessons with those millions dead. You know, some could say that this is exactly what happened in the Soviet Union. You know, strangely, two communist Marxist countries that tried this very thing. It's weird. But they, you know, of course, the farmers didn't know anything, so they killed the farmers. And then they just got some, you know, elites to go in and farm, which they know everything about farming. Everything. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because they've studied it in a textbook.
Yeah, and people who, you know, put on suits and uniforms and go work for the government for 30, 40 years, have a real sense of working with their hands.
Yeah.
You know, getting their hands dirty.
Right, in the real world.
Oh, yeah. They understand that stuff really well. Right. It always goes well when they micromanage it.
It'd be great. I think farmers would be good if they were made up of lawyers. Because every time the crop failed, they could sue them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm suing that corn.
Right. And that corn would learn its lesson next time.
It would, and it would grow next time. Be great.
You know, I keep coming back to the idea that, you know, there wouldn't be all these farming problems if it wasn't for all these farmers.
Amen, brother.
You know, just I'm taking all the steps out of the communist playbook. Yeah. Let's just learn
from
them.
Well, I was thinking that there's, you know, we wouldn't have a problem with all these Republicans or, you know, all these poor people if we just got rid of all the Republicans and the poor people.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, that really stops the problem pretty quickly.
It does. It does. And it always works out well. I know China's done it. I mean, the Soviets did it. You know? The old Holodomor was a really good experiment in that. And they've had no problems with Ukraine since.
So, I think John Kerry's got it fixed. Because, I mean, when I think of somebody who understands farming, I think of John Kerry.
Oh, yeah. You know, every time I see him parasailing off the shores of Nantucket, windsurfing? I can't remember which one. I just remember that picture of
windsurfing
in the middle of that. But yeah, windsurfing off the shores of Nantucket, I think here's a man whose next step is to make sure he's got manure and he's fertilizer. He's out there in the fields working hard to make sure that your food gets to you.
He's up to his neck in fertilizer most times.
He is. Yeah. That I will agree with.
And he's a guy who likes to get his hands dirty, you know? I can see him all the time getting in his hands in the soil, you know?
Doing manual labor. That's the John Kerry, Teresa Hines Kerry way.
Yeah. I will tell you that I would like to send him someplace where he's doing hard manual labor. I'd like to send a lot of these people into a place to where, like a farm, you know,
of sorts.
Yeah.
With lodging, obviously.
Of course, we got to provide lodging and three squares.
Yeah.
Three squares every
day. You know, Glenn, I like those open environments where, like, you know, even though it might be a small area, you can see for a long distance between, like, like bars. You know, like the bars come down and you can see right through.
That's really, that's very beautiful. Kind of old school, but I like that kind of feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.